Pokemon Sword and Shield are coming to the Nintendo Switch. Let's jump into it. What is up, guys? Welcome to episode number 49 of Diggity, a video game podcast. I'm Jeff James. As always, with me is the incredible, the unobtainable, the luscious Brody Fultz. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing swell.
Swell?
Ooh, I'd be doing even sweller if you followed us on Instagram and Twitter at Diggity Podcast. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Username is Diggity Gaming on YouTube. And subscribe to our podcast if you're listening to the audio version right now on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to. Hit that subscribe button. Helps a ton. Today's episode is indeed brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial by heading on over to audibletrial.com/diggity. That's D-I-G-G-I-T-Y. You can get access to over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, your Android, your Kindle, or if you're old as old heck, your MP3 player. So head on over to audibletrial.com/diggity. That's D-I-G-G-I-T-Y for your free audiobook download and 30-day free trial. Before we jump into the news, my dudes, Brody, hit us up with Diggity Deals so we can pass this sweet, sweet savings. So bad. I feel like a used car salesman.
It's so terrible.
Passing the savings on to you, brother.
The first one is, if you trade in a 500-gigabyte PlayStation, either the original or the Slim, you get a $200 GameStop credit.
It's a PS4, too.
Yeah, PS4, sorry.
just any PlayStation.
The second one is $23 for the Sega Genesis Classics for Nintendo Switch, and this is at Target.
Ooh, bougie. Target.
Bougie.
Hey, you know what's weird is the fact that GameStop is already doing this credit stuff for trading in consoles. Like, of that amount. $200 is a lot, man.
That's a real good one, yeah.
That's really good. I mean, if you wanted to upgrade, I mean, it's a great time, but also a bad time, because you're probably going to have new consoles be announced soon. Within the next, like, 4 months.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Which is crazy to think.
It is crazy.
In, like, three... Well, it could be less than that. Could be PlayStations could be, like... Any day.
Any day now.
Any day now,
I think,
brother.
Their event was, what, April or May, I believe? Somewhere in there?
Yeah, something like that. April or May. So two to three months. Pretty crazy, man. It's coming up. Well, hey, it's a Thursday show. Before we kind of get into the meat of the news, which is obviously Pokemon, judging by this podcast title, every Thursday show we do something called Indie Radar. What we do is we put a trailer on our YouTube channel and it shows an indie game that we're intrigued by and that we're kind of stoked to see, but hasn't been released yet, or it doesn't even have a release date, which most of these usually don't have that much of a release date because they're super indie games.
Yeah.
Where they're just kind of like plucking away at them. No pun intended for this one. Basically, we choose a sweet game, we showcase it on our YouTube channel, we show the trailer, and then on the podcast, on the Thursday podcast, we talk about that trailer and the reasons as to why we picked this game for our Indie Radar for this week. So this week is a game called Skatebird. The release date is 2019-ish. The platforms it'll be on are PC, Mac, and Linux. The developer is Glass Bottom Games. Glass Bottom Games makes absurdly cozy games about animals doing people things. You'll wander around on cool, foggy nights, make friends with detective cats, and run into tiny birds trying very hard to skateboard. that's the description of this game, which is what caused us to definitely pick it. The publisher is also Glass Bottom Games. And one of the features is drop in and be a skateboarding bird, grind on bendy straws, kickflip over staplers, and carve killer lines through a cardboard and sticky tape world. Skatebird can't fly, but on a board they soar. I'm sorry. It just cracks me up. I love it. Basically, guys, if you haven't seen it, head on over to our YouTube channel and check out the trailer for this. It's a friggin' bird skateboarding, and it's fantastic. It's adorable. It's hilarious, and it's absolutely ingenious in my mind. I mean, this is a fantastic idea.
Yeah,
I love
it. It's incredible, and it looks so good, and it looks like they've done an excellent job on what, I mean, is shown off in the trailer, and it looks great, and just, like you said, adorable.
Yeah, they're asking the daring questions our civilization asks, which, what would a bird skateboarding look like? And they're solving that for the rest of the world. It's incredible. It's incredible the work they do. I love it.
The daring questions. Yeah. It looks amazing. And if you have not seen the trailer yet, swing on over to Diggity, where we have it up on our YouTube channel.
Heck yeah, dude. All right, man. You got some upcoming dates for us, right?
Yeah. So these are just kind of some scattered dates with not a whole lot attached to them. But Stardew Valley is coming to Android. And we talked about that last week. But it will be available on March 14th. So just around the corner here. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trilogy is coming to Switch, Xbox One, PC, and PS4 on April 9th. And EA's new Star Wars game, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, will be shown at the Star Wars Celebration in Chicago on April 13th for the very first time.
Sweet. Stoked. And I'm hoping they can redeem themselves from like the whole Battlefront stuff.
That's the one that's being made by Respawn also. So it should be good. But the only thing is, it seems like it's a completely different dev team than what we saw in like Titanfall. So, I mean, get excited, but maybe not too excited.
Cautiously excited.
Cautiously excited.
Cautiously excited. Hey, there's new Xbox games with gold for March. So for Xbox One, you'll get Adventure Time, Pirates of the Enchiridion, or Enchiridion. I don't know. I'm looking at Brody.
Sounds good.
He doesn't know either. Good God, I'm scared. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. For backwards compat games that you get for free is Star Wars Republic Commando and Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. So, to be honest with you, kind of a weak month for games of gold.
I am personally excited that Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2 is on there because my kids love that game and have been playing it through EA Access, and I no longer have EA Access.
So they're all upset.
So it hasn't ran out yet, but
okay,
it's about to, and this is going to come in time. Like, just in time.
Well, good job, Microsoft, for making Brody need to finally cancel his EA Access because he decided to give him the game for free. I'm sure they love that. You know, I've had Garden Warfare 2 for on PlayStation. And, I mean, it's whatever. And the Adventure Time game, is Adventure Time a big thing still?
I think it's died down quite a bit.
It's more Rick and Morty nowadays.
Yeah, Rick and Morty is kind of taking its place for sure.
Morty.
Morty!
Yeah, you want to hit us up with the PlayStation side of things, dude?
Yeah, PlayStation Plus free games for the month of March are Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered and The Witness.
That's so awesome. That's good. We got The Witness for 1 month on Xbox, but like... Yeah. Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered, that would have been sick to get.
That was one I contemplated getting at some point in time because of the fond memories of playing it, and I'm glad I held off.
Now you get it.
Just saying.
That's sick. All right, on to the bigger news. A new character is coming to Overwatch, and his name is Baptiste. Baptiste will be the 30th character to join Overwatch. Baptiste wields an assortment of experimental devices and weaponry to keep allies alive and eliminate threats under fierce conditions. A battle-hardened combat medic, he is just as capable of saving lives as he is taking out the enemy. So he's just as good as saving people's lives and then freaking killing them. You know, it's awesome. His abilities is Biotic Launcher. Is it Biotic or Bionic?
It's Biotic.
Okay, great. Biotic Launcher. Baptiste's three-round burst Biotic Launcher rewards accuracy and recoil control with significant damage output. It also doubles as a healing device, lobbing projectiles that heal allies near the point of impact.
Anna or Anna, however you want to say it. I'm pretty sure it's Anna. But
Where she throws her jar or whatever, which is kind of sick.
Essentially the same thing.
Regenerative burst. Baptiste activates an intense regenerative burst that heals himself and nearby allies over time. Immortality field. Baptiste uses a device to create a field that prevents allies from dying. The generator can be destroyed. Amplification matrix. Baptiste creates a matrix that doubles the damage and healing effects of friendly projectiles that pass through it. And exo boots. By first crouching, Baptiste can jump higher. So originally, like you and I thought that he was going to be kind of a Brigitte in some way, I guess, kind of, where it's like a
shield well-rounded and healing and damage.
But it sounds like this guy's just a full-blown healer.
To
me, in some essences.
It'll be interesting to see how his gun is, because that's usually a lot of the characters that do do heal. Their weapons tend to be pretty weak, I find, at least. Right. I mean, aside from Soldier, but Soldier doesn't do a whole lot of healing all in himself. But
I mean, four out of these five things that he does is...
Yeah,
as an element of healing. So
maybe, see, that's perfect for me. I was gonna say, because I'm generally the healer slash support or whatever we need.
Your mercy.
I'm the Swiss Army knife. But yeah, I'm pretty much mercy. But I'm excited to see how this is, because if he's a decent healer, I'll absolutely play him, especially with a 3-round burst gun. I'll feel a little bit less vulnerable than when I'm playing Mercy. A lot of times it's like flying as close as I can to get behind either you or Craig. And
yes, the amount of damage you absorb is absurd.
It's well, we're insane. Both play tanks, yeah.
Usually, so usually, it doesn't help. Is there any character in Overwatch right now that, like, you wish they had, like, in terms of type, like weaponry and, like, kind of what their abilities were?
I don't know, man. With 30 different heroes in there, it seems like they've kind of covered a lot of their bases on this. And you've kind of seen it in some of the characters that they've launched, where they seem to have a similar skill as another character. I mean... like for this one, you have the biotic launcher, which we talked about, is similar to Ana. But I don't know. I think right now we're sitting pretty good. I think we've got a good mix of about most abilities that I could imagine in this game.
I'm hoping they change the character selection screen.
Yeah.
Because it gets increasingly harder and harder to find your character. And also the tiles get so small, and like, you zip over people so quickly now. It's insane. So I'm kind of hoping that they change stuff up on that, but I doubt it.
As a healer, why would you need the Exo Boot ability where you can crouch and jump higher?
Well,
it's just kind of odd to me, I guess.
I think you pair that up with his the mechanics of his biotic launcher. Yeah, and he can maybe jump up a little bit higher and lob it over, what could be a crowded area or a crowded fight, maybe.
That's fair. It's an interesting mechanic. I'll always forget to crouch before I jump anyway, so it's not going to make me much of a difference unless I have to like stop and think about how I can get up to a higher vantage point or something. But no, man, it's I think he sounds like a cool character. I'm excited to try him.
Yeah, I'm actually excited to try him. I wasn't excited for Brigitte.
Are you excited for me to try him, or excited for you to try him?
No, I'll try him out. I'm just excited for this character. I feel like the last time I was excited for a character was Doomfist, and I got let down. But, you know, because Moira's, I don't really care.
The more I have played as Moira, I really don't mind her, but I don't know. She's still not my favorite. I still tend to gravitate towards Mercy.
Yeah, I think Moira's design and just what she is, I just don't like her. And then Brigitte, I didn't get into Brigitte as well, because I'm just like, I don't get it.
I'm not a melee player. I can't do it.
I don't
it.
Think you can fucking play melee. And
no, I think it's hard. Some people can.
Yeah.
I mean, because there for a while, like Doomfist and stuff, he was what a lot of the pros were playing, you know, and I never was able to use Doomfist well.
Yeah, dude. All right, man. You want to hit us with, you want to hit us with the Red Dead stuff?
I'll go to the Overkill's Walking Dead first.
Oh, my bad.
It's all good, buddy. Overkill's The Walking Dead is dead. Skybound Entertainment, the company that created The Walking Dead, has shut down Starbreeze Studios' attempt at making a Walking Dead game due to it not meeting the company's standards. The console version is not coming, and the future of how the game is handled on Steam is up in the air as of now. Skybound Entertainment told Variety earlier this week, "Our creators and their stories are the core of Skybound. And since 2014, we have worked hard to expand the world of The Walking Dead into an exceptional co-op action FPS." According to the statement, We did our best to work with Starbreeze and resolve many issues that we saw in the game, but ultimately, Overkill's The Walking Dead did not meet our standards, nor is it the quality that we were promised. this is bad, and I guess I didn't exactly see this happening. I knew the game launched and did very poorly and was received very poorly. I didn't really see Skybound shutting it down, but at the same time, kudos to them for withholding the reputation of their company and their IP.
Well, and Starbreeze came under fire
a
couple months back with the whole what was it? It was like internal stock issues or something like that.
It was like insider trading.
Insider trading. Now, the thing is, on Starbreeze Studios' website is Overkill's The Walking Dead expected to be unavailable for purchase on Steam due to disagreement with license holder. Okay? And then the one right after that, their PR release, was Starbreeze has received a notice of termination from Skybound, The Walking Dead title, right shareholder related to the party's license agreement regarding Overkill's The Walking Dead. Canceled.
Yeah.
So
yeah, in the article I read which was from Variety where I pulled that quote from, they made it sound like it was still up in the air. Granted, that was from a couple days ago, so
right.
But yeah, there's your update. But yeah, man, this is messy. This whole game has been nothing but a mess ever since it launched. It's just
cursed.
Yeah, it's absolutely cursed, and apparently The Walking Dead as a whole is kind of a curse right now.
I don't even think people give a shit about Walking Dead anymore.
No, I think it's run its course. I think it's about time to wrap up the television series as well, because most people, even the people that were really, really hardcore into it, they don't care anymore.
Now, between their Payday mobile game or whatever, Crime War, you know, and some other stuff that they have, they're working on something called Project Crossfire Co-op or whatever. The title's pending, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with this company. That's probably a pretty large contract that they just lost, and I don't think it's something that they wanted to happen, obviously, and I think it's going to hurt them a lot. It's going to hurt them from an investor perspective as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I see them shutting down.
I honestly do too. I mean, to have the creator of the IP that you made a game for say that your game was basically shit quality is not a good look at all, and that's not going to look good for future partnerships, and it's not going to look good for investors. It's just that's not something that you want to hear or have out there to the public.
Yeah, no, it's sad to see someone lose a license on that stuff, but I mean, here's the deal, dude. Like, it's they got insider trading shit against them. You know, it's just a downhill race right now. Like, they're at I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like 91 cents in SEK or whatever, like whatever Swedish currency that is. But you know, like, it's not they've had a hard time with a lot of this, and I would not be surprised if someone gobbles them up for the rest of their IP. If an offer is made, or if you know, the place just collapses, honestly, at this point. I hope it doesn't. I don't want to see anybody collapse. I don't want to see people lose their jobs, but like, it's clearly not going that well. Yeah. Anyways, something else that's not going very well, Red Dead Online. It's a freaking mess. The first major update brought to the online beta messed up far more than it fixed. This update pushes microtransactions heavily while reducing major sources of income for players to half of what it was before the update. Emotes cost $100 plus in-game currency or gold bars.
$100 of in-game currency.
Yeah, sorry, of in-game currency.
I worded it kind of goofy. US. Sorry.
Yeah, no, no worries. New daily assignments require you to use a gun that is listed as coming soon. And players are reporting that many, if not all, of the bugs that existed before the patch are very much still there. So it looks like they're kind of just focused on, like, how to make more money off of this.
Yeah.
And there's fucking problems with this.
It was 100%. From what I've read, because I have not played it. We played it, the first week it was out, and we did pretty much despised it.
Yeah,
we played it. First couple weeks, I guess.
First couple weeks, yeah.
But we did not like it at all, and we haven't been back. I've been following it. Yeah. But this is typical Rockstar fashion for their online games. I mean, GTA... they're going to absolutely just suck that thing dry. And in the process, they're going to, you know, just take as much money as they possibly can from...
I feel like they fixed GTA Online, though. Like,
I don't know, dude. There's still a lot of microtransaction stuff.
I know there's a ton of it, but I don't...
It's not in the shape that Red Dead is right now.
Yeah, like, it's not a complete... GTA Online was a different story where it was like it was garbage when it first launched, and then they fixed it and it was gameplay centric first, and then they migrated the transactions. And I think the problem is that they just, well, I don't know what the problem is, because they had a good cookie cutter that they could have used from GTA, and no one was asking them to do anything different.
To me, it seems like they're literally repeating what they've already done. I feel like this is pretty much the same path as what GTA took. I mean, from a gameplay standpoint, it's a little bit better, but at the same time, it felt very empty, or at least when we played. And to have a lot of bugs, and like major bugs at that, and not patch them, but push your microtransaction stuff out there first, especially when you're reducing what players are actually earning in-game, which one of the major ways to earn money in online and even in the single player is by hunting. You can hunt and, you know, sell everything you get from hunting. Yeah. And even then, you don't really earn that much. And then to have that reduced to half while adding in things that encourage microtransactions and just... the absurd prices of things in online, it's just a mess. And I really was hoping that they weren't going to do that, but as microtransaction heavy as their online games tend to be, it's just, I'm not really all that surprised. I was just hoping for better.
Yeah, it's, well, I think one of the problems that we saw too is it's just like, I get you can select certain areas of the map and of the world, or you can play like the whole thing open, but like there's so many dead areas in Red Dead on the map, and like some people will argue that with me. If you exclude Saint Denis, and my apologies, it's not my apologies. If you haven't beat Red Dead by this point or been to all the places, like, you know, plug your ears for a little bit because I might, you know, spoil some stuff. But like, you know, aside from Saint Denis, I'm not even going to count Cuba because you're there for like 2 seconds. I guess Valentine, like there's no like metropolis or anything like that. There's no like big adventure that you guys want, that you want to go on together.
Well, most of the other towns are pretty, they don't really stick out. They're just kind of there. They're not remarkable in any way, shape, or form. I mean, anything that happened in some of these towns, like the only thing that made those towns good were the story that was going on around it. And that could have taken place literally in the middle of the woods and it wouldn't have changed much of anything. It's just, I'm thinking of a specific town, but I'm trying not to give spoilers, even though the game has been out for a while, because it's a long game. It's you got to put in a lot of gameplay.
It's okay, go for it. Which town?
I'm struggling to think of the name, but the one where
is it north of Valentine?
No, the first town where one of your gang members may or may not get shot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. It's like a street. It's like one or two streets.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's the thing.
Completely unremarkable.
In Grand Theft Auto Online, at least you've got a vehicle, right? And you can zip around. What do you do? Go on your friggin' horse? Oh, people over with your horse?
At the point, once you start to get further in the game, you do a lot of horse riding. And do you riding open from.
Up about your feelings towards this game now? That's been a while.
Yeah, we can do that while we're on the topic. I am having a very, very hard time finishing it. I'm past the point where some of the crazy stuff happens, and then you get back, and now you have to basically just ride your horse from one end of the map to the other end, and then back. And it's been such a struggle for me to do that, and I've been at the same part for probably a couple months, and part of that is because we have a lot of other things to play and a lot of things to keep up on.
Yeah.
And the other part is I'm having a hard time getting back to it. I feel like this game was just a little bit too long, and there was a few parts in there that got a little bit crazy and didn't need to be there, and it just kind of burnt me out on the game. I want to finish it, especially
because I've finished it. And
I was in the party with you when you finished it, and you were freaking out.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it definitely the reward at the end for finishing the game is fantastic in terms of the story and what you see go down and just how it ends. I think it was perfect. But there's so many lulls in the game with it, and I think we're even guilty for this when it came out. I think we definitely looked at it with rose-colored lenses.
No.
Or glasses, whatever saying you want to use. And I think a lot of people did as well. And I mean, rightfully so, it had been so long since the last Red Dead. It's a Rockstar title, which usually there's quite a high level of you know, polish and finish to that game. And the sheer magnitude and size of those maps are incredible. But now, like, looking back on it, you know, it's something where it's not a game where I want to pick it up and play it again. It's not a game where I want to just jump in and just, like, cruise around this giant map, which I feel is a waste of the map. Like, I feel like it's a complete waste to have made such a massive world that I don't want to use. And that's, you know, I don't like online as well. And I'm sure there's tons of people that like online and play Red Dead Online. That's great. That's fantastic. From my standpoint, yeah, just way too big, and it just the story was so drawn out, and I felt like there was probably hours of missions that I just didn't need to do.
Yeah,
that were main story missions, not side missions, just main story missions that I felt I didn't really need to do, and it felt repetitive, and I felt like my hand was being held constantly. Yeah. Through all of it, which is fine when the world's that big and you're using a horse and everything and all you have is that little map, but it's like, I don't know. I just, looking back on it, I'm not as, I guess, I don't know. I wouldn't give it this, I still give it the score, like pick it up and buy it. I still think it's a good game.
Absolutely.
I guess it's just like, you know, I definitely don't see it in the same light as I did when I first got it, and I think I let some of that stuff get in the way of the fact that it was just a new Red Dead game.
For me, I think the probably first, I don't know, three quarters of the game was amazing, and then something gets completely derailed and it just kind of gets a little zany for a little while, and there was no reason for it, I don't think. And so that's where it kind of lost me. And then, like I said before, you know, the mixture of just being busy with other things coming out and a few other factors, it was hard for me to get back into it. I just hit this wall, and I mean it does kind of, it is based upon the game, obviously, but at the same time, like, it's, I don't know, man. There was just something about it that
I'll
this
tell you what
wall
it was.
I hit.
It
tell
was,
me what it was.
It was when, because the people who don't want to hear the storyline, please plug your ears again. It is when
I was trying to tiptoe around
it. Dude goes to Cuba.
Yeah. That part was so bizarre and weird and didn't need to be there.
But if it went there and that was and it was there
the
for
rest of the game?
Or like an extended period of time onto it.
Yeah.
Cool. But like
it was like he what, fucking an hour and a Cuba. Half of yeah, gameplay there?
Yes, and he gets on the fucking boat because there's this massive deadly storm. They fucking wash up on Cuba. Then they get fucking picked up. And then they fucking go through all this stupid shit. They fire a cannon at a fucking naval ship, okay? Like, it just got insane. And then Arthur leaves that place, okay? But he only leaves it because he fucking float. Doesn't he, like, float to fucking shore or something like that? Or gets caught up in, like, another thing? No, they steal a boat. That's right.
So yeah, then they fucking... that's how they got to the island in the first place was they washed up.
Yeah, and then they steal another boat, right?
Yeah, they steal a boat to go back, right.
Yes. And then you're back. And then it's like, oh, wow, that was wild.
And then it just acts like nothing happened.
Yeah,
it
was, wow, we totally didn't just fucking come from Cuba.
Yeah, that was pretty much where my wall was. I think I did maybe two or three missions after that, and that was about it. But
I thought it was beautiful, the land. I thought it was really cool because, you know, this entire time you're kind of going through America.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, shit. And then you get to kind of get to go to, like, a tropical paradise, which it looked beautiful, it was gorgeous. The attention to detail was just as good as the rest of the map, the mainland map. But yeah, it made no fucking sense to me.
Yeah.
Like they, at all.
Like you were saying earlier too, the online just seemed bare and there was way too much pushing to buy microtransactions that was before they were even in the game. You couldn't even purchase this stuff yet, and it was blatantly apparent that was the route they were gonna go, and here we are. I didn't expect anything less, but I'm not surprised that Red Dead Online is not doing very well.
Well, hey, let's jump into the biggest piece of the news in this podcast. You want to hit us with that, my dude?
Yes. So yesterday was Pokemon Day, and they had a like 7-minute direct of just Pokemon news, and they announced Gen 8, and we are getting it later this year. Gen 8. So the games are going to be called Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield, your normal two version type deal like to do. The games will be coming late 2019. It is an entirely new gen and an entirely new adventure. Will absolutely include older generations of Pokemon, though. You will still see, I mean, I saw a little bit of everything pretty much in that trailer that they showed. It will be a new region called Galar.
Yep.
Galar. Yeah, but it appears to be based on Great Britain, but that is not officially confirmed by Game Freak or the Pokemon Company or anything like that. That's just kind of what people gathered. Wild battle mechanics are back after being excluded from the Let's Go games, and gyms are back after being absent from Gen 7 when they did kind of the island challenges, which were weird. But anyway, you have three new starters that they announced, and those are pretty much the only Pokemon that we've seen from this new generation. The first one is called Grookey, which is this
best name ever.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a grass-type chimp. There's Scorbunny, which is a fire-type rabbit Pokemon, and Sobble, which is also a fantastic name. And he is a water-type lizard.
He's depressed water-type lizard.
I saw a comment on Reddit when I was reading through some of the announcement news, and somebody goes, Sobble's pathetic, and I love him. I was like, that pretty well sums it up. But, dude, this generation looks like it could be awesome. What they showed in the trailer looked amazing. It was Let's Go Eevee or Let's Go Pikachu graphics, but better. And the worlds felt more alive, which makes sense because they're not based off of Kanto. I'm excited for this, and I was excited for it last year when they announced that they were doing a new gen. the world looked beautiful. It looked like it had, I mean, a little bit of any type of like landscape that you could imagine. There was snow, there was I mean, just everything. And the return to your normal wild battle mechanics and gyms and things like that, just kind of the return to the formula that has worked for them for so long, I'm pumped for it, man.
Yeah, no,
and I'm absolutely gonna choose Grookey, by the way.
No, I think everybody in this world is gonna choose Grookey. Yeah, you know, just running down the list, super stoked that it's gonna be coming out this year. Obviously it's gonna be holiday season, I would assume, is when that launches. A little weirded by the titles, but I'm sure we'll learn more as to why they're called Sword and Shield. I don't really know why at this point, but hey, maybe we'll find out. The fact that it's a whole new generation, that's crazy, because there's, you know, over 800 Pokemon, or close to 800 Pokemon, which is insane already. The fact that it's going to have older gens is awesome. The region looked cool. It looked like a super like linear map. Like when they zoomed out, it seemed like you're just kind of like zigzagging up to the mountains. I could be wrong. But the way that they kind of showed it was as if, like, you know, the snowy mountains are your last area, which kind of makes sense because, I mean, if you think about it, like, it starts in the plains and then you slowly raise yourself up into altitude, which is kind of cool. Having the battle mechanics are in there are great. I don't think anyone here was really worried that they would have gotten rid of those. We knew that Eevee and Pikachu were kind of like a light version of Pokemon and an introductory for people in between. Gyms being back, that's great, because when they weren't there, it's freaking weird. And the starter Pokemon looked great. Sobble, it's funny, because when the clip, when I was watching the direct, where Scorbunny steps down and then, like, that grass is kind of on fire for a second, and then you see, like, a little stream of water hit it, I thought someone, like, it looked like someone was pissing on it, but then it ends up being Sobble, the water Pokemon in the fountain spitting on it, which is funny. Grookey looks great. Your wife, Amber, saw a similarity between Scorbunny and
Chespin.
Chespin, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
her favorite Pokemon. My kids have been big on watching the animated series and stuff like that, and so there's always Chespin in there. We always make fun of him because he just walks around. And he's like Chespin. But anyway, I got home and I was like, hey, they announced a new Pokemon. You know, like it's been announced. This is kind of where we're at. And I showed her the trailer, and she had said something about how Scorbunny looks just like Chespin. So then I brought up the two pictures on my phone and put them side by side, and oh my god, the face, the teeth, the mouth, the eyes, like everything looks so similar. Which, I mean, good god, they have over 800. Yeah, I thought
to each other.
Yeah, I thought Sobble, his face looked very much like Scraggy. Do you remember Scraggy?
Yes.
His head and shape and everything looked a lot like Scraggy.
Oh my gosh,
but
yes.
I mean, dude, like you said, they've made 800 Pokemon at this point. I mean, we've had everything from an ice cream cone Pokemon to a sword Pokemon to a lantern Pokemon to kind of your more traditional Pokemon where they were actually like kind of like monsters of some sort. But they've done a little bit of everything, and I could not imagine that they wouldn't eventually use, you know, similar head shapes and things like that. Like, it's going to happen. But it was hysterical that my wife brought that up because she doesn't really play games and she doesn't really play Pokemon either. So, but yeah, crazy stuff, man. What is something that you really want this generation to bring about that is not something we've had before?
Ooh, that's hard.
Or
man.
Some
it's
sort
been
of
so many games.
Yeah, maybe not necessarily something that we haven't had before, but maybe a return to something that we haven't seen in a while. Or
I want to see. So I got pretty excited in the direct when I saw that your trainer. I'd like to see more customization of the trainers, like the colors of the hats and stuff like that. But I doubt we'll see that. It didn't look like you're able to do that. But I'm sure we'll learn a little bit more as the months go on to launch. But when you enter a stadium, so I'm hoping there's almost kind of a Pokemon Coliseum feel to that stadium side, and I'm hoping that that's kind of a side mode to battle people online.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, and I hope it captures that really well. So that's kind of what I want to see from that. I want to see a good online experience because I don't think there's – I don't know.
Some people love it,
whatever, but yeah. I don't think the online experience has been the greatest for Pokemon over the years, and I'd like to see them really nail that down. I think I'd also like to see multiple villains, like beyond like multiple like story trees or paths that you can take. You know what I mean? So like maybe I don't face this one villain. Maybe I don't face a Gary, but I face somebody else, you know, down the road because I chose this path and chose a different way in the story mode. And I actually hope that the map is not linear and it's not like, you know, zigzagging up and down. I hope that it actually, you know, hey, you have to fly to the mountains and then you have to come down to this area and stuff like that. So those are kind of my three wishes, I guess. But other than that, it looks beautiful. I think the game looks really cool. I can't wait to be on a plane and play this thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
You know damn well you're going to try to go to some town and you're not going to be able to go through because the dude inside the little like travel area there, he's thirsty and he needs some water. Or there's going to be like something asleep in the path, like a fucking onyx like just fell asleep and he's blocking off a whole path, and like there's going to be some of that, you know there is. But yeah, from looking at it, the map did look extremely linear, but I assume they're going to do some sort of something goofy where you got to go into a tunnel system and fight 8 million Zubats, and then you're going to make it to the next town, and then you got to go backwards, and there will be something screwy, I'm sure.
I am worried, for one thing. God, Jesus. I just saw a meme where it's Sobble. And then they put that meme of the cat crying with his face over top of his face.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, I am worried from one aspect with this game, and that's its length.
Yeah.
So I don't know how big this game is going to be, but kind of terrified to see. Like, I really don't want a short Pokemon game.
No.
And, like, a short story. I hope they don't use the online, you know, stadium and battling paired with the fact that there's a ton of, like, there's tons of generations you can just walk around and free roam into different stuff as a way to negate the story from being long. Because, I don't know, like, it's, I get a weird feeling that it's going to be a short story.
I don't think so. I mean, the map looked pretty expansive. I assume it's going to be probably on par with a lot of the Pokemon games we've had in the past. That's my guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It looked like there was enough regions to make each town, or to make enough towns to make up basically what we've seen in the past. And honestly, I think now, I mean, I played a lot more of the Pokemon games when I was younger. I think now I'd be able to breeze through it, obviously, a lot faster than I ever did when I was younger, because when I was younger, I had to roam around and do, you know, a lot more. But I think it'll still be pretty comparative to maybe not like Sun and Moon, but maybe a little bit further back, you know, going to Black and White and things like that. But there's two things that I really want from this series in this game. I guess there's kind of three. I would like for the story to not be nearly as linear as it has been in the past.
On the website, it says forge a path to greatness. And okay, I could just be looking into that too much, but I'm hoping it does have a tree, you know, like you can kind of choose your own path.
I kind of still have two, I guess, but it's two-ish, three-ish, because I'd like to see a world that kind of pushes you to explore, kind of similar to that of like Breath of the Wild in a way, obviously not to that scale, but I'd like to see a reason to go explore rather than just following this path and doing this thing because an NPC told me to. Right. I would also like to see something where you could make some choices in game that actually affect something other than like, which fossil do you want? Like, I'd like to see something where like you were saying, you know, maybe have multiple different enemies based upon something you have done or something that you have said or whatever, how you've responded to someone in the game. And right. then the third thing I'd really like to see, I would like to see this game not be hand-holdy. I do not want another Sun and Moon. Sun and Moon, I haven't even beat Sun and Moon because I couldn't stand how hand-holdy it was. It just, it seems like from the very get-go, it's just very, very dull, and every single thing you just, I guess all of the things I want are could be summed in one thing. I just don't want a linear story. I want something that varies. I want my experience to be different from your experience in this game, but all at the same time still be, you know, this obviously the same game and the same Pokemon type experience. But that's just, I'd like to see them break away from the mold a little bit, but not too far. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I really want to see how this plays on my TV versus how this plays handheld.
Yeah.
And I also do not want to see this go the way of Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, where it was like, hey, use this Pokeball accessory.
Yeah.
And get cramps. I mean, obviously you're gonna be able to
get
use
cramps.
It, but I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that take the like be in the forefront. I just want it to be a Pokemon game. I want it to be controls. I want this to be something where like when I dock it, I'm just continuing. I don't feel like I'm playing a different game. I don't feel like I have to play it in a different way. I don't feel like I have to learn it in a new way. So I just kind of want it to be, I don't know, just a solid. This is a game, like, this would be a game that I'll definitely go pick up the Pro Controller, even though I have, like, some of my, I have, like, aftermarket, like, controllers, yeah. Third-party controllers. I'll probably go pick up a Pro Controller for this reason in the holiday season.
I assume this is going to be a game I will play handheld, because that's pretty much exclusively how I play my Switch, unless I'm playing, like, Smash or something like that.
Right.
Because it's my console I get to play when the wife's watching TV. So
that's awesome. Yeah, no. Which, to that fact, you kicked my ass in Tetris 99. Congratulations. You're like, what, you got fourth place?
I got fifth place.
Crazy.
That's the best I've done so far. Fifth that's place. God, that game is brutal.
Do we know of any... So, with this game... Do you expect, like, the role that Pokemon is on right now? You pair the movie with this and with all this stuff. Do you think we'll see, like, a new Pokemon game come to the Switch, like, every year?
No. I think what we'll see, and it's similar to what we've talked about before, I think they're going to do, I guess, depends on what your definition of new is. I think we're going to see something similar to, like, a remake of, you know, like a Let's Go type game every year in between, like, maybe the generations or the new generations. I definitely think either that or we're going to see, like, a reissue, like what we saw with, like, Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon and things like that. But as far as an actual new generation year after year, I highly doubt that. I think it'll be at least 2 years in between or so. Every other year, every 2 years, something like that.
Do we think they're done with the 3DS?
Yes.
For sure. You don't think there's any other Pokemon coming to 3DS?
No. I think this game is definitely the signs of that. I mean, for all intents and purposes, your Kirby Epic Yarn that just came out, or is coming out, I'm forgetting which one it was, but I think that's essentially like almost a swan song for the 3DS. I think they are definitely laying it down. When your Pokemon game that you're releasing, your main generation, new generation, like the big game that they come out with is not coming to your handheld console anymore. I think that's definitely a sign of what's to come. I think that that console is dying. I think it'll still kind of hang on for a little bit, but when Pokemon is not being developed for a handheld Nintendo console, it's gone.
It's probably on its way out, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Last question before we close it up here. Starter Pokemon, who are you choosing?
I think I'm going to go Grookey, even though I typically don't go grass types, but it's all going to come down to what the other evolutions of these look like.
Yes, absolutely. For me, you know what?
Because you spend the most time with the third evolution. So yes. That matters a lot.
I'm kind of thinking I'm stuck in between Grookey or Scorbunny. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think Scorbunny is pretty cool looking. And I imagine you can only imagine what its third evolution might look like. With that, too, another question, Sword or Shield, which one will you buy? Doesn't really fucking matter, but, you know, this is an age-old Pokemon thing.
I would, first instinct, not knowing which legendaries and which one, because that's always the big push, is each game has a certain legendary.
There is a wolf on both of those, though.
That is true. I would probably go Sword, just off of a whim. I would probably
go Shield. Interesting.
Right?
Well, there we go. We'll both be able to review both types.
You know Sobble, his third evolution is going to be badass. He's going to go from this wimpy little... Yeah, he's going to be like a fucking tank or some shit.
Sobble on steroids, just friggin' ripped, just veins everywhere on him. Rip somebody in half. Be crazy. Hey, this podcast, believe it or not, takes time to make, and same with on YouTube. And if you like us enough, hey, you can support us on our Patreon. Patreon.com/diggitygaming. Today's podcast was brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial by heading on over to audibletrial.com/diggity. Thank you to Audible for sponsoring today's podcast. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Diggity Podcast. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Diggity Gaming. I'm available on Xbox One. Add me anytime you feel like. My gamer tag is Maple Jeff. It's like maple syrup. It's a play on the fact that I'm Canadian. You haven't guessed that already from my accent. And Brody, yours is what?
Luscious Brody.
Hell yeah. Leave the podcast a review, whether you listen to the audio version or the video version. Helps us out in two ways. One, gets us more noticed. Two, gives us your all-important feedback, which allows us to make this show better each and every single week. It's crazy. I think we're on episode number 49.
We're on
episode 50 next
Tuesday
week.
Tuesday's going to be 50. Holy cow.
Crap, man. I can't believe it. 50 episodes. It's nuts. We've done it. Two episodes a week. They called us crazy. We've done it. We've done it, my friends. And until we see you guys for the Tuesday show for episode 50, have a great weekend. See ya.